This is Shayna.
And Chris.
And we are Bad Queers. If you came out of the closet and got put in a box of stereotypes you don't belong to, then welcome to the Bad Queers Club.
All right. This week in Queer Urban Dictionary, I have race play, which is a topic of conversation, child. Race play is a form of sexual role play in which the players act out racially charged situations such as interracial master-slave relationships. My sentence is race play can incorporate racist and hurtful and derogatory terms and comments regarding the other's race to fulfill and reach sexual pleasure.
All right. My Queer Urban Dictionary word of the week is PLU. PLU is an acronym for people like us. So the term PLU has gradually become slang for homosexual amongst members of Singapore's and Malaysia's gay subculture. So my sentence, more informative, PLU is an informal association of LGBT, lesbian, gay, bisexual, transgender, and heterosexual allies in Singapore that was formed in 1993. So PLU.
PLU.
That's what we're doing. PLU. All right. Well, folks, we're just going to jump into it because we have a company that we're very excited to have back, our wonderful friends and family of the podcast, Minority TEA Report. They're joining us, so hosted by aunties Karel, Dewan, and Jarell. They do new episodes every Monday. Join the community and subscribe on YouTube.
All right, y'all, we have company, and the greatest company is company that comes back. I want to welcome back Karel and Jarell from Minority Report Podcast.
Hey,
hey,
y'all.
Hey, what's up? What's up? What's up?
I can just hear your listeners being like, Karel and Jarell?
Right. I know that's right.
For the listeners, can y'all introduce yourselves separately so they'll know who's who?
Okay. Yeah, I'm Auntie Karel.
I'm Auntie Jarell. I like long walks on the beach. I like, no, I'm kidding.
I like short walks.
What
on long
you
beaches.
Right. Like, on long beaches, okay? Zero incline.
Yes.
Like, that part.
Not funny. So funny. We'll also have Dewan joining us later in the show, yeah. So we'll get to that. But y'all haven't been on since 2021, episode 61 with us. I feel like it, in this fourth year, it's trending that we're getting some of our company back and checking in. So tell us what y'all been up to in these last 3 years. And yeah, fill us in.
Oh, Lord. Wow, 2020. I don't know where time went because I'm like, 2021? Damn. Okay. 3 years.
Well, what have we been doing? I got one. Karel's now 40 since the last time
that we had.
What a flag day.
I'm in my daddy era now, you know. That's okay. That's okay. I'm all living in black don't crack, so that's okay.
Let's go.
We just celebrated our fifth anniversary, actually.
Yeah.
The day this comes out, yesterday would have been our fifth anniversary live recording. So this whole week, and honestly, this whole year and month and all that, we're just kind of doing little stuff here and there to kind of celebrate the fifth anniversary. So that's probably the biggest latest thing, which is crazy to say, 5 years of doing Minority Report.
It's wild. It is so wild to say. But you know what I will say? I have to give so much of my personal growth, though, to this podcast. Like, although it's been work to do the podcast, it's not work at the same time because I'm hanging out on a weekly basis with two of my best friends. And although they're older, I'm the youngest, I get to learn a lot in real time, though. A lot in real time. And I've learned how to, you know, admit when I'm wrong, which again, I'm a Capricorn, so y'all know that's a hard ass thing to do, okay? And I've also just learned how to have a couple more emotions, which is a very hard thing for me to do too. So, you know, we over here caring and giving. That's been the theme of, you know, year five for me.
Caring and giving.
You review those changes, the new things you learned, and you're like, okay, yeah, as a Capricorn, you're like, that'll work into my life, so I accept it. They're logical new feelings, and I accept them.
Look, I have a personal life resume that I'm just like, look,
here's my growth. Okay, uh-huh. My life experiences.
Here's how I'm trending.
That part.
For progress, okay? Nothing but progress. Part. That's awesome. That's awesome. But to remind folks, how did y'all meet and how did Minority Report come about?
Wow, that's a long story. So Dewan and I used to live in Chicago. And so Dewan and I knew each other back in those days through our volleyball league. And so like the bar we used to, that sponsored our volleyball team also sponsored Dewan's volleyball team. So every Sunday we like play volleyball and go to the same bar and we're like, okay, that's the other team. Like, why don't they just hang out with us and vice versa? And so next thing you know, I was like, oh, okay, another black person in Chicago. I need to be his friend. Yes, please. Thank you. And that's how like our friendship kind of just started. And then Jarrell was friends with some other friends that we also had. And so he didn't live in Chicago, but he might as well had lived in Chicago because she was out there all the damn time. And so just naturally out there, out there running. Mm-hmm. We were all out there running them streets. And so just naturally, just over time, became friends with Jarrell as well. And in 2019, let me get my years straight. Mm-hmm. In 2019, well, forever, I always wanted to do a podcast. Like, I always wanted to do a podcast, just never had the time to do it. And I got laid off from my job. And I was like, okay, if now's the time to do it, if any, because I might have a little more time. But if you ever get laid off, you realize you really don't have as much time as you think, because finding a job is hard as shit.
Mm-hmm. That's a whole other job when you're finding a job.
Honey, a word. But I always thought, okay, if I ever did a podcast, I know I would want to do it with Dewan, just because every time Dewan and I got together, it'd be like these long-winded like conversations. Literally how we talk on the podcast is how Dewan and I always talk. But then we were kind of like brainstorming. I was like, you know, we gonna get too long with it. Who's gonna like just break this shit up? Who's gonna be the firecracker? Be like, no, ho, that ain't it. And let's keep it moving. And I was like, ooh, you know what? Jarrell. I was like, Jarrell's gonna be that one. And plus, he was a little younger than we were too. Like, so Dewan's, I guess I'm the middle child. Dewan's a few years older than I am. And so we were all, especially at that point, kind of just different life stages. And just thought this, that perspective would be great to have. And so, and that's how it kind of started. And so we always just wanted to have space for black queers, brown queers, and kind of show the spectrum of what that is. Because especially at that time, there weren't a lot of black podcasts, period. And to have the extra layer of queer podcasts on top of it, there was very few. And so just really showing that spectrum, we didn't want to show that it was just a stereotype. Yes, there might be some stereotypes that we uphold, but there's other parts of life that we just felt like wasn't being talked about. And we were just like all in corporate America. Like we all are in like interracial relationships. So that's a whole nother thing. But then we also talk about Beyonce and, you know, Serena and things like that. So just honestly, the conversations that we were already having, just putting it on wax, like, I guess if I'm showing my age there, putting it on record there. And really the crazy thing, I think,
oh, that's
kind of come out of it.
Shut up. No, for real. I was like, you know, wax. And then you said,
I was like, Jarrell, don't do it. I said, Jarrell, don't do it.
I was trying to be like, put it on wax. Makes sense. Okay.
Got it now. You know, it's just the Beyonce wax right here, the vinyl, if you will. But the thing that we kind of hear all the time now that was kind of maybe the given is that they're like, it's cool to hear three black queer men in their friendship. And that was kind of like the given for us. We're like, of course, these are my best friends, you know, but we never really just sat down and been like, oh, wow, they never heard the inner circles maybe of what we discuss and that we might not always agree. But at the end of the day, we have the respect for one another to be like, OK, that's your opinion. Live it up. This is my opinion. I'm going to live it up too. Or, you know what? I never thought about it that way. Thank you for checking me, because you're absolutely correct. And it's been cool to just kind of see that evolution and kind of building that community over time. And it's been a blast, honestly.
Yeah. And, you know, just to piggyback a little bit on what Carell said, too, I think for me, part of going into it was a little bit of that is just knowing that I had such a great friendship with the both of them that I can be my authentic self unapologetically and they would embrace that, right? And not hold my shortcomings against me and give me that room to be able to grow and to challenge the way that I thought, but also understood that I also brought something to the table, even though I might be younger or I might not have the same lived experiences as them. And
I realize that there are a lot of people out there that aren't fortunate enough to have genuine friends that can love you and check you in the same sentence, right? And do it out of a space, out of respect, not to try to bring you down, tear you down, or try to one-up you or anything like that. There's never been any type of competition or anything like that. It's just always been space. And I just really wanted us to have a podcast that it felt like other people could be a part of that same type of friendship. No matter where you are in the world, that you could have a conversation with three people like us and hear it and feel like you want to be a part of it, which you are. And so that was one of the things that I really, really wanted to get out of the podcast.
Well said.
Mm-hmm. Come on over here with the emotions.
You know, that's right. Two.
Okay. That's two. Congratulations. Okay. Congratulations. You put it in practice.
Okay.
Put it in practice.
Knowledge is power.
Okay. Right. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. It's cool though, this. Too. Like the, like you hit on something there too. It's just like, I don't think I foresaw, like, even though we know we wanted to build a community, I didn't foresee how intertwined we'd be with the community and the folks that listen to the podcast. And that's been super cool. And to kind of just like be out and about and people like recognize you and recognize your voice and shit like that. That's been bizarre. Mm-hmm. But it's just like, you always hear, oh, hey, we listened to the episode and you know what? No, that song ain't it. Y'all tripping. And that's cool that they feel comfortable to do that. You know, to a line, don't get too comfortable. Mm-hmm. but no, like the building of a community like that has been just insane to me, and that they trust that what we're saying, that we're at least going to do the due diligence and try to put like proper shit out there and bring on folks that if we don't know it, bring on folks that might be able to speak to it and things like that. Mm-hmm. And that's maybe something at the beginning I don't think I completely foresaw.
Yeah, and you all have had great guests on recently. I was hype about the Amorphous interview. I was just like, look at all of us getting one more step closer to Beyonce. Just one more. And that's all we really need. That's all we really need in this world. I saw that interview. I was like, I've never tuned into your episode so quick as I did when I saw that interview pop up on my feed. And I said, oh, they have done Amorphous. It. They have and done it. And I'm here for
incredible.
It.
Incredible. Like, his energy was dope. Like, we didn't plan for a two-parter, but like, it just, the conversation just kept going. We're like, okay, you know what? This is going to be a two-parter. But he was dope. And that was another one similar to like, if you haven't listened to Bad Queers on Minority Report, they're on this week's episode as well, you know, the crossover episode. But like when you guys mentioned, like when you had Lena on your podcast, similar moments like that as well. It's just like, wow, they actually said yes. And they're actually engaged, like in comments or DMs and things like that. That's another thing that I'm like, it still boggles my mind.
Yeah, it's I agree. And like, I still like, and it's been a couple years, but even when we had Michelle Williams on, I will still never forget that these girls surprised me. Okay. Dewan and Karell knew that she was coming on. And I'm over here trying to get on to the camera on time. And I'm just coming up. And I'm like, oh my God, getting my hair together. And I said, oh, wait, is that
Michelle?
It's wild.
Lost. If Chris ever did that to me, I would have left. I wouldn't have known what to do. I would have left and been like, who is this? What AI is this? That's what I'd be like. I'd be like, what fresh AI is this?
Dead ass. And let me tell you, and the way that she pulled up too, and it was crazy too, because it was just after Beyonce's birthday too in New York. So she still had the same hair done. And I was like, oh, we still getting the leftover Beyonce just energy in there as well too.
You might as well have been there.
We were there.
Yeah.
But it's crazy how that some of these guests that we've had on have like now become like friends, you know, like people that I message on a regular basis now, like on Instagram or text message. Like I talk to her and Amorphous and, you know, like other people like on a daily basis now, which is just like, that's like a person I know. Like it's just, it went just to being this, like this huge thing, which is still huge, but now it's just like part of the norm. I'm like, damn, this is part of the growth of the work that we put in to the podcast.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, speaking of Beyonce, you know, we got to talk about Cowboy Carter.
Amen.
You know it.
Amen.
Come on. If you haven't seen their episode, they dressed up. They gave such an in-depth review of Cowboy Carter. Like, y'all got to check it out. But now that we've had a couple weeks to really digest it, where do you rank this Beyonce album?
Oh, no.
Personal rankings.
So thanks for having me.
First question.
Wow. That's a rude question.
I didn't.
Great,
you know, I'm going to take responsibility.
I have Capricorn in this group, so you already have it. You already have the list.
I feel like Jarell already has his, for the fact that I didn't
have your list.
Preview
I know
Chris's
questions.
You know
questions. I already have my list. I
you
do have my list.
For 48 hours almost.
That's a rude ass
Now, Shayna, you don't have to. You don't, you know, our guests will.
Okay. I am just upset for them because I knew I wasn't answering that question, but I was upset that I didn't screen this question ahead of time
in
for
my
you
mind,
all.
So I feel like you, Beyonce,
I deeply apologize.
That level stand, y'all probably have like a board
already
somewhere. Y'all move the rankings every week.
The ticker
y'all are
changes
like,
every day.
Yeah.
It's literally the stock does go up and down
yep,
each day.
It does. Does.
Changes.
It really
yeah,
does.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. Gosh!
Personal rankings.
This one, it's my fourth. It's the fourth album.
Oh, like, it's number four.
It's number okay. four. I'm sorry.
B-Day
is still number
B-Day
one.
B-Day still kind of
goes. B-Day and B-Day okay. just still.
Yep.
They, I mean,
are y'all
it
all
was
aligned
just,
on that? Is everybody, is B-Day number one for all y'all?
Before Renaissance and Cowboy Carter, it was always B-Day and four for me, competing and like dueling it out for me.
Good one.
Then Renaissance came and I'm like, damn, hold on.
Yeah.
This shit is spectacular. I think B-Day still edges it out just because just the time frame in life where I was at that point just did something to me. Mm-hmm. And so it's just intertwined in the DNA for like, damn, what's 15, 20 damn years at this point. Mm. And we were joking how Twitter was just saying how Beyonce was just yelling so much on that damn album because she was.
She
had something to say.
Yeah.
She had something to say, damn it. And I was here for it. So I think my gut still says B-Day for me, still edges everything out. But you're just catching me right now. It could change mm-hmm. tomorrow morning.
Okay.
Yes, because the stock does change. Because
the
market is hot right
four,
now.
Two. Four. Oh, four is so good.
Because four is that girl.
Four is
I love
so
this.
Good. Four is that girl. The people who don't appreciate four for what it is, I'm like, you realize
so
that
good.
All of your favorite songs move in and out of four. At every tour.
You right.
So you all cannot put any disrespect where they're like, four wasn't great. Four is Beyonce's best vocal album, period.
Ooh, damn.
Period.
Hold on now.
The range on four is immaculate. And the way that she puts it live is even more immaculate. And you cannot say otherwise.
Yeah, she was seeing her face. She was vocally, I will say, four is her best vocal album. Vocal wise, though, I would say Renaissance might be up there though too. Because
say Renaissance,
the way
she
sang her face on like Virgo's
Groove, she did sing her face
and
off on those things.
But the key changes though, and four though,
thank you.
The youth was there.
The octave,
she was like,
she was at the beginning and the end of the piano.
Yeah,
on four. It was all over the place, from the rhythm to the range to all the things and the way that she sings it live. It's very true. I was
these are just Renaissance very rude-ass questions.
Fun singing, but
I apologize so full right now. I am so full right now watching y'all really, like, breathe
like
out
you
of your
feel
nose
the stress.
And mouth. Like, I just feel like
I'm
can feel it.
Now.
The stress
from us.
Watch. I feel like I'm watching, like, a sports debate show. Y'all are like, ooh, Jordan and LeBron. Oh, God.
Right. It's like we Stephen A over these Beyonce shit.
Yeah, Michael and Prince. God.
Damn,
so crazy though. You know, human nature. Yeah,
I think Renaissance might still be her best vocal album. Four is right there though. The only reason I'm saying this is because she didn't develop her lower register until, oh God, it started coming in Lemonade a little bit after she had them babies. Mm-hmm. But then like she really knew what to do with her lower register towards the end of the Lion King album and then really in Renaissance. And then you really see it now in Cowboy Carter where she's hitting some notes where I'm like, damn, she has developed this lower register and it's disgusting. But four was like the end of her, like, kind of where she kind of had more of a upper range. I don't know.
I mean,
all I know is your favorites could never. Thank you.
That, look, right.
It's all that matters.
I always have to give B-Day the shout out because it was the first of the, I'm giving you a visual for every song that I put out. It literally started what so many people have come to love and want from me. Like, for instance, we all wait on these visuals, right? And she's like, bitch, I've been giving you visuals.
For
and
now the girls,
you are the visuals.
And now you are the, right, okay? And actually, I was okay with being the visual this past Renaissance.
Oh, but, that's right, you're always in Renaissance.
You know, yes. Hopefully we'll be visuals in Cowboy Cardinal, you know, but.
You were in Renaissance?
I was in Renaissance. Yeah, you can see me in the crowd. And I was on Parkwood as well, too, for their Pride celebration post last year and for their Europe kind of post last year as well, too. So, you know.
Oh, my God. And see, and that's why I couldn't bring no punk-ass questions about, like, do you like Beyonce? What do you feel about
You right.
Deep cut people.
Damn.
Sophisticated fans.
Freedom Dress is still probably my favorite Beyonce song of all time,
oh, my
though.
Gosh. Mm. And the video.
Like, Freedom Dress, like.
That shifted culture.
Mm-hmm. Oh, my God. Okay, so you know what? I'm sorry, but Kitty Cat is still. There's
Kitty Cat. Song.
When Kitty Cat comes on, there ain't no way for me to let's go. You can't help. You want no more. Let's go, little kitty cat. Hey, you don't want no more.
Let's go, little kitty cat.
You can't help but to be like, my bitch. You ready to dismiss whoever, whenever, wherever.
Yeah. Two of my favorite songs of Beyonce's are all in that up. Like, I love Freedom Dress and I love Deja Vu to this day.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So that's why I'm like, B, they just did something to me when that shit came out. Like, it's just a vibe from beginning to end. It's just a good ass album. So,
and I love Green Light too, bitch. When she had them little like ballet,
Green
like
let's go.
I know that's right. She hit that note. And I'm like, go ahead, B. She said, go, oh.
All right. Oh, yeah. You better go on with the next one because we could talk about Beyonce all day.
We could talk about all
day. Cool. Mm-hmm. I feel satisfied in that.
Yes. Thank you.
Wait, what's your answer, Chris?
Yeah. You know, I'm a casual still, right? Like, that's I feel like I'm. So the last 10 years, I think. Because that's where I could, you know, seriously have been paying attention and like can genuinely give like a good answer. It's hard because Untitled is just changed music. It changed everything.
It changed the release date of damn albums.
Yeah. That's my second favorite, actually.
Yeah.
That's my second favorite.
I think Untitled still to this day because the visuals and just everybody who she collaborated with, self-titled, too, just is like
self-titled.
Friend. But Renaissance is self-titled. Second
We understand. It wasn't D'Angelo. We did it, though.
I'm just trying to help.
Oh, yeah.
I'm here to support.
Yeah.
And her body was eaten in that in those music videos, too.
Blow.
Let me tell you.
Yeah.
Just I can't
Drunken Love and when that came out too, just being out in the club, it's just
yeah.
But Lemonade too. I love going back to Lemonade. She's just she's given us everything. Like there's nobody like her. There's no artist that's an artist thing at that level, you know. So and like
Lemonade was the
way
time
the music
I saw her
is
concert.
Like you don't make so much money off of music as you would when she was in Destiny's Child and in the 90s and the early 2000s. So like she really loves and is the best at her craft because like that's why Rihanna don't do shit, y'all.
Right, y'all she said, I'm working this out for some damn pennies now.
Right. She's like, you know, I'm going to do that. But like, that's kind of like the poorest thing she could do is music, but she loves music currently. The poorest thing she could do, you know?
The poorest thing she could
it
do.
It is. You're not making any money.
You ain't lying,
in
though.
Way. In that way, I know her you know, that tier of money, she's going to make hundreds of millions, but music isn't what it used to be, you know? So in terms of the money for it. So like, she really loves what she does and she really, like, she doesn't disappoint y'all. She hasn't disappointed y'all from what it seems. Mm-hmm. And then in the last 10 years that I've really been paying attention, I'm just like, God damn. Like, who's doing it like this? So
nobody. You
know. I saw this video. I forget who. It was this NFL player from the Seahawks. I forget his name.
Bobby Wagner. I saw
Bobby
that.
Wagner. Yes. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And it was so dope for him to see. But like, I went to a Beyonce concert and that's when I realized I wasn't putting enough work in my craft, and he went back and started working harder as an NFL player.
They tried to clown or laugh because they were like, Beyonce? And he's like, nah, like he stood 10 toes. He was like, I went to a show and I saw her work ethic and just all she put into a show. And I was like, I'm glad he said that, because there's not a lot of, you know, men always make it seem like it's this guy's make it seem like, oh, Beyonce. And it's like, no, legend. Regardless of gender, work ethic out of this world. So, icon. So,
He's dope. Obviously. And I actually met him last year in person at work, too.
And he's kind of fine, too.
He is fine, too. I definitely got my picture with that man. I said, I pushed him kids out the way he said. I know you kids.
I love that. Yeah. Thank y'all. Well, I appreciate y'all asking honestly and truthfully and from your heart, because y'all really did. So.
I'm done. And now I'm going to transition over to Phil to talk about Gerard Carmichael's show. So did you all get a chance to watch?
I watched it.
Yes.
Or like experience. It's really not even a watch. It's really an experience.
And I'm trying to figure out what is the experience, because I was sitting there. Yeah. I'm literally looking, and I was watching it by myself. It was one of those things where I was like, I need someone here to watch this with me, because I got questions. I'm just sitting here. I'm like, what the fuck am I watching? Like,
it definitely needs witnesses to be like, you saw what I saw, correct? You are seeing and processing exactly what I'm seeing at the same time. Cool. Just need to make sure that it's not just me.
I'm trying to figure out why.
It might honestly, though, be the most honest TV I've ever seen in my life.
And that's why I can't look away. And I'm not even sure, like, part of me doesn't want to continue after episode two, because episode one was like, okay, all right. Ooh, okay, he is transparent as fuck. This is reality. This is, you know, people compared to the Truman Show and everything, and it is transparent as fuck. Probably too transparent. Mm-hmm. Episode two, it's like such a throw off, because, like, I appreciate people being that open and honest, and there's so much he struggles with internally that I'm sure there's a lot of people who have same or similar struggles. Mm-hmm. But race play, no man. No man. Like, I'm not with it. When he joked about it in the beginning of the episode on stage, it was like, okay. But then he kind of bookended the episode and like went further, and I was like, oh no, for he's like dead ass. And I'm like, I don't know if you need to be figuring this out on TV.
You don't need to do this on public, right?
You don't need to do this on TV. I don't think we need to see this.
But you know what? The people that were coming over the visit, though, I was
that's
like,
who I got questions for. That's who I truly have questions for.
Like, the one friend who masked up and was like, nah, this is some bullshit. I was like, you are a real one. And I respect this. But everybody else who showed up and was just like, yeah, don't care.
Yeah.
Sure. I'll sign whatever. He said, put me on
they
camera.
They said, I'm here to get some dick.
Like, I don't think these cameras ASMR here or not. On here.
Yeah.
I'm horny as shit right now. I came to do what I came to do. Mm-hmm. Where do I sign?
Cameras, whatever.
Mm-hmm. He said, which I seen them dick pics. I came to do what I came to do.
Makes me question that, like, is this what y'all have been dealing with on Grindr your whole lives? Is this what
questions?
That's literally what it is.
Absolutely.
That's literally what it is.
All that shit was so real. I was like, wow, this. And I can't tell if it's a little self-destructive as well to do this, but that's all part of the realism, I guess, of it too, and the honesty, like, because in a weird way we all are searching to be that honest and real day to day.
Yeah.
And we've all been taught that we might need to draw back a little bit, maybe for the safety of others, maybe for the safety of our damn selves. So I think that's why we can't not watch, is because, like, damn, part of us still actually wants to be that truthful and that honest and trying to figure some shit out. And that's the true reality of day to day. We all just don't have the kahunas to put this shit on TV to be ridiculed while we're still figuring out what the fuck we even want to do, because he just recently came out. So a lot of the stuff that he's going through, I'm like, oh my God, these are some certain feelings that I forgot about, you know, that, like, either I've worked through it or I've tucked it away years ago. And I'm like, fucking A, this is crazy. I don't have the kahunas to do that today, today to put this shit out on TV like that. But it's kind of cool that someone else is, even if it is awkward and crazy and wild as shit.
Yeah.
You know, so, oh my God.
I feel like I feel like he reminds me of someone that just lives for the mess, though. Like, I feel like a lot of the stuff he just does because he just likes that type of chaos. Like, there's just people who live in chaos and they get that sense of thrill because it's just so unpredictable, right? And it's so forever changing.
I wrote down the realest line. He said, hold on, where I put it at in here? He says something like, I am broke, like somehow I am broken. And then the other guy's like, no, you're not. I was like, no, that was the realest thing he done said on this shit.
Yeah. There's like little nuggets in there of when he knows that he's like, how far he has to go with the struggles. And I don't, you know, there was an important part in it too, where he mentioned, you know, coming out at 30 and being like, feeling like a 17-year-old. So he just like wants to fuck everything. And it's not lost on me. I know it's like Grindr and everything, and y'all are confirming like that is consistent with what Grindr culture, and it's not lost on me that like straight men are doing the same things on their apps. Like if there was cameras around, there would be similar storylines of, you know. But I just hope he lands this plane, but I don't know if I want to get off. Like, I hope this is just like he's starting off and it's just like we see how he progresses. Like, I don't know, part of me thinks because he has these black homegirls that he's really close with, they're gonna be like, hey bro. I don't know. Like, and I know if I get to the end of this season and there's like no growth, I'm going to be like, oh my God.
I feel like he already jumped out the plane. I don't think there's anything to go out there. He's already flying the plane. Like, mm-hmm. I just hope the nigga has a parachute at this point. Okay.
There's a lot there. But do you feel like his dating experience? So we said like that's fairly accurate of Grindr, but do you feel like his thoughts that he shares on like sex and love so far are common against gay men? Amongst gay men.
I don't know how common it is.
Right. Go ahead.
No, I was going to say, I wouldn't necessarily say common. I think in gay culture, the only thing that's probably common or consistent is just like, just how easy hookup culture is. But as far as what you're looking for, I think it's pretty much the same. It's just, y'all know, men ain't shit. So it's about really out there just digging through the shit and be like, where it at?
There's a truffle in here somewhere. I think the real part of it is like, I think at least what's maybe common is that we've all felt a sense of, especially when you come out of like aloneness, like feeling alone. And I think that's the piece that like, obviously there's some trauma from his childhood that he just still needs to deal with of being alone. And he's kind of hinted at it a little bit. So I think that's the biggest piece, because like every time he was alone, that's when he was back on the app, like especially when he was dating that guy. And so that's a piece that I think he still needs to figure out. And he doesn't need to be in a relationship until he probably figures that shit out, because he's just going to end up hurting folks along the way. But I think that was probably the most relatable piece. How common it is, that I don't know. But I think we've all at certain points had moments of that for sure. At least I know I have. Where you're just like, okay, I just want to do this because I feel a little lonely right now, and it is what it is, you know. I don't know. Hey, Dewan.
Hi, Dewan.
What's up?
Welcome, welcome. We're talking about Gerard Carmichael's reality TV show. Have you been able to see it? Have you watched it yet?
Yeah, I saw the first episode.
What are your initial thoughts?
I'm just glad that these kind of conversations are happening. I love like the subversiveness of this, because I think that these are kind of explored experiences that we haven't really seen before. Mm-hmm. And it just goes to show that whether you're a content creator, you know, kind of like we all are in some way, shape, or form, we all have different perspectives. And there's room at the very many tables that exist for many different perspectives to come up. And while I don't necessarily agree with all of the perspectives, I appreciate the fact that there is a platform where people can have their perspectives being showcased and essentially scrutinized by the consuming public.
It's not lost on me that it's like, it is groundbreaking in its own way. And that's why it's like part of me wants to continue to ride this out and see what happens with him. And I like Gerard Carmichael. I think he's talented and all that. But very interested to see when he gets when he has scenes with his mother.
His family show. Yeah.
It makes me understand his comedy style a lot more now. That's probably the biggest thing. I'm like, oh.
Okay, style.
That explains a lot of shit. Jarrell still don't like it.
I am not here for it. Tomato.
No. He's like, get a therapist.
That part. Well, I'm not your homegirl. You talk to me like you know me, like I know you. Right. I'm ready to give your ass some real ass advice and you don't want to hear it. So.
Plus, he's in therapy lying. So.
Okay.
There's also that.
Wait, y'all ain't never lied in therapy, though.
First of all, you know my therapist, so you know he clapped my ass.
<You're> right. but it means you attempted, though.
Look, I was like, I only lied when I didn't like my therapist, and then I was like, you're not going to help me anyway, so then I moved, and that was my tell. So lesson for everybody.
That's the truest shit I ever said. I don't like your ass. I'm going to another therapist. Thank you. Bye.
Let me tell you, I love having a black therapist because. Marvel would call my ass out and be like, nigga. And I'd be like, so you're right. Okay, we don't get that fine.
Just that one nigga
fine.
Is like, no, you're right. Right. Oh, you're right. Right. No, you're right. You're absolutely right. Mm-hmm. They had that one scene in the second episode when they were both at therapy. It was when his boyfriend left him. And I thought it was so funny that the reason was because when he was asked if he was being monogamous and not cheating, and of course he lied, the camera person must have came in a little bit quickly,
yes.
And then that's how I knew. And I was like, "That's hilarious!" Because
yes.
Like, he moved.
He
in.
Said that
he
cameraman knew like, something that I didn't know.
Yeah.
And I was like,
yeah.
Damn.
Yeah.
He said, "My bad."
That was very funny.
Yeah. Afterwards, when they did their post production meeting, he was like, "My bad. I got
he's
too
like, my
excited.
Bad. I jumped too excited.
I should have just used the Zoom function. I shouldn't have gotten up.
I was trying to get the. I was trying to.
I realized what I did.
He got caught up. He was like, "This nigga lied."
But it was also how he was laughing and like he leaning in too. I was like, bitch, that should have told you right there. Like,
okay, he was too energetic about him mentioning
I'm
that.
I'm a
and
nervous
I said, no.
laugher, and I was like, oh, he is nervous laughing his he ass off like complete.
See, I'm a nervous laughter, but that's a lying laughter. He was just he knew he was
that
bullshitting.
Is, okay. That
was
like
this was a lying laughter. He was like, damn, I'm really out here trying to deceive this nigga. Like he knew he was like, what the fuck am I doing? Like.
Can we talk about though, like how awkward Tyler the Creator was though, too? Because he too didn't want to like address shit. You know, like it was just two niggas not wanting to address shit. He was eating the shit out that food. He went and farted on the cameraman.
Like when you get a cameraman to actually be like, bro, really? And I was like, wow, look at go ahead and please make this moment like more awkward so that you can get out of the awkward situation that you're currently in.
That was wild.
But I felt
bad because like I feel like Tyler in that moment, even if you're not attracted to your friend in that regard, you see how uncomfortable your friend is in that moment. And at least maybe it's just my nature to be like, hey, okay, I know this is awkward, but I'm feeling bad for you right now because your body language is so like tight, like into yourself. And he and Gerard was like trying to be vulnerable for once. And I think that's part of this whole journey too. It's just like every time he's trying to actually be vulnerable, some shit like shuts him down for a second. And then he's like, well, that just taught me again not to be vulnerable. So I'm about to do whatever the fuck I want to do, even if it's destructive.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Even though he has to take I think a little bit of responsibility he has to take. Because I'm like, the non-answer was the answer.
Like,
that's it. Like, he didn't text you back. He didn't give you any indications. It's a no. You know? I know he wanted to clear the air for the friendship, but I was like, you know, the sit down and all that and
like that's not how
Tyler being
it.
Okay with it. Yeah, that's quite a way to clear the air.
Yeah. I will say though too, one of my issues though with this show also is the editing though. Because you can tell that there's some serious editing to also tell the story of each of the episodes. For instance, like the first one, like they were clearly showing scenes in the first episode of them already hanging out. And if you look at those scenes of them hanging out, that clearly happened after they had already had their conversation, they sat down, which is what they showed towards the end. So like at the beginning of the episode, they're showing, you know, Tyler texting and he's, you know, leaning up against on Tyler and stuff like this. This is clearly after that conversation. So I can see. Yeah. So because that's what like when it, they showed that and then it was like the countdown to the Emmys and it kept showing him left on red. And then they finally talked and they kept throughout the episode showing him and Tyler hanging out. And it was just like, so we know that this is going to go somewhere. Clearly, everything is going to end up being okay if they're to a point where this is happening. Because clearly, the camera crew either had already been there long before that happened, or this is post that conversation.
Yeah.
And then tell lots of people. Which is a... it was a jump scare for me.
It was aggressive. Okay. I said...
Here we go.
You know how you be like leaning back on the couch and you sit like this? It was one of those where my ass was all the way up. I said, oh.
Literally my posture... the amount that my posture changed during the show is the amount of... shock that happens throughout because I just can't process it laying down. I don't know about y'all. I need to see and process sitting up apparently because the way that thinking, I was leaning forward. You need to work forward,
on your technique there, Playboy. Right.
Tomato. Tomatoes again.
But not me being like, did he at least check for Cho Jam? Like he just took the sock off and just started sucking. I'm like, literally. Lint in between. I was like, maybe you like it. I don't know.
Could I don't know me. If those are verified toes, trusted toes, but you know.
Yeah, not every toe is trusted.
Not every toe is. Got to verify those toes. Never know.
Okay. I hope you
don't want your toes sucked out.
Don't even look at them. Don't touch. Don't want them touching me. No.
I was like, I never really request it
at all.
Plus, it's like I read too many sports. I don't need anybody to go down there and see what's happening with my feet. Like they're clean, but I don't need you to go down there and see whatever is going on. So it's like, okay, but massaging, great. Please do that.
Yeah.
Please.
Yeah, I'm not going to suck no toes, but I mean, you can suck my toes. I'll make sure they clean.
Trusted toes.
Trusted toes. I'll make sure they trust it. I'll go get a pedicure.
I literally had a pedicure today. I don't want people touching my toes. I don't want people licking my toes. I don't want people looking at my toes. My toes are for me.
No.
And I see them. Look, and I see them every day when I take a shower, and then they go away into the next shower, bitch. Let me tell you, it's to the point. But I literally get in the bed with my socks on, then I take my socks off.
Really?
They don't get to see the light of day.
Hell no. At the beach,
are they ashy?
Okay.
I don't. I'm just making sure
you letting them breathe.
You didn't say they were neglected.
You're right. I just don't like people looking at them. I don't want to look at other people's. Even when I go to the beach, I have like the towel over my feet. I just
sit there with
the area pose like this and just have, you know, my hands covering my feet.
Like, really? Wow. When did you start doing that and why? Okay,
thank you.
Especially at the beach. Like that is.
You know what's so crazy? Because I was in swim and dive, you would think that I would be used to it.
That's what I was thinking. Oh,
that means you saw some things behind the scenes then, huh?
Yeah, maybe. Well, it was a lot of white people shit, so it makes sense.
I'll put it together.
That was my assumption.
Yeah.
She just saw one too many Saw movies, and she's like, nope, these are protected gems.
That's interesting.
Huh? Yeah. We'll see where that show lands. I don't know where we're going with it, but Lord.
But I'm going to watch it.
I am. I ain't even going to it. I'm going to watch it. I want to see how this is. I'm watching all of it. I'm going to watch it. Yeah.
This show is definitely one of those, like, it's predicated on shock value. It's predicated on creating interest in what is absolutely going to happen. And the fact that, I'm not saying that it's a, you know, good or bad thing, but it's predicated on each episode is going to be cringy and that's why people will tune in for it. And there's definitely space for in the ecosystem of all the things that content creators create that have that kind of shock value. It's almost like watching a, you know, a plane crash or, you know, like a car crash or whatever. You're just like, That was horrible. Oh, do you see all them arms hanging out? Just and
but, oh, damn.
But then you be like, oh, wait a minute. What did you see? Wait. So I feel like it has that kind of, you know, like tragic energy.
See, I'd rather watch this than like Housewives and all that. Like, I feel like, even though I know this is a reality and everything's entertainment and TV show, this is the kind of reality that I would rather watch than like Housewives personally, because that's not reality. Like, you're not fighting 24/7. And maybe on the flip side, you're not destructive 24/7, but like, this seems a little more raw and real than Atlanta Housewives or hip hop Atlanta or whatever the shit is. You know?
Anything on Zeus. Literally, dang, Zeus. My cousin be trying. I was like, I can't, girl. I tried. I just, it's not for me.
It's not my life.
I'm also not much of a reality TV person myself. But I do have to ask y'all a question though. Mm. If it was anyone else, would you watch the show, or is it just more because it's him?
It depends. Both. But I probably would if it was, even if it had some of the same things going on. But you know, maybe not the race play. But I probably would.
Did you see the GIF that was basically like?
Would you still watch it?
If it was
Terry Crews,
Terry Crews.
Oh wow, Dwan, how'd you know? It's like you picked the one person I probably wouldn't watch.
The billions of people on there.
I was like, actually, no.
You nailed that. Like,
yeah, no, you did that.
Girl, I was,
I know.
I was going through the Rolodex, like,
No.
Bingo.
I will watch Terry in clips. Okay.
Well, I think part of it, though, is like, it's the queerness of it, it's the black queerness of that it. We haven't seen black queerness on TV like this. Before, we haven't really seen anything on TV like this before, but the black queerness, at least for me, is what intrigued me, and I think they did a great job of leading in with the Tyler the Creator and him situation, because that's what intrigued me. Like, if they would have done maybe the second episode and put clips out there first, I would be like, maybe I'll get to it. But that's what initially intrigued me, because we've just never seen two black men of just queer descent out there trying to figure out what the fuck's going on in their friendship. You know, and so that's probably what really kind of intrigued me. But if there was maybe another black queer person and it was a similar situation, I'd probably still be intrigued just because of that piece of it. If it's like, I'm trying to think of some random person, if it's like some white person and shit, maybe not as intrigued now. Like just a regular Joe Schmo off the street. I'm all right.
Okay. Well, y'all know we got to get into Man of Steel's, because we talked about this on y'all's episode. We had to get to this. We didn't get to this, but
no, I think that was after the
don't worry. So let's talk about Amanda.
Don't worry. Here we are with it. So Amanda Seales a couple weeks ago, you know, came out and mentioned not being invited to black events, and she was talking to her followers, but it blew up, and there were some black publications and media, The Griot, Essence, The Root, that published some strong opinions about her character. What do y'all think of how the last couple weeks have gone, and how they're framing Amanda with this?
I'm not a fan about how they are trying to frame her in it. Like, at the end of the day, she's been one of the few people with a microphone actually speaking up for our people. Like, out there consistently using her degrees, which she didn't went to school for, and actually out here educating the masses, right? And so for her to have an opinion that might differ from other black folks in our community when it comes to, you know, some of our own things within our community, that don't give people the right to be like, oh, then we're not rocking with her. Like, I just, the fact being that a lot of these publications are like, we are for the black and brown community, right? That means you need to accept all of us in our entirety. Not Candace. She gone. She gone. You know, there's a select few. The people who are doing select. Right. There's a select few. You know, the black anti-black people. No.
Right.
Mm-mm. But when you got black people who might disagree with you, but still are doing the work for the cause for all black people, those aren't the people that you'd be writing these type of stories about like that and dragging her like that. I don't think that's cool. One bit.
I struggle with her because I'm glad she's one that is very vocal about the plights that are against our community. But there's also, I feel like this is like a and situation that multiple things could be true about a human being, that mm-hmm. yes, you could be talking about great things for our community and things like that. But if enough people are saying behind the scenes that they don't fuck with you, it seems like it's very habitual. It's not just one person. It's not two people. Yeah. It's not three. And it's been your whole career. And then now you got major publications saying some shit too. There's a disconnect for me. The math ain't adding up. And if mm-hmm. enough people behind the scenes saying your character behind the scenes ain't shit, but I can also still rock with you because what you need to say and what your platform needs to be said. So that's the thing with Amanda. I feel like enough people have been like, like, thank you for speaking up, but damn, girl, like, and I don't know where that disconnect is. I don't know Amanda Seals from Joe Schmo down the street. So all I know is the stuff that I say on her platform, and I like watching her stuff because it needs to be said. But we always say, if it quack like a duck and walk like a duck, motherfucker might be a duck. And enough yeah. people saying she a duck, I don't know. So, but for me, I don't know her, so I don't want to put that on her. And I can meet her and we could be the best of the friends, and it is what it is kind of thing. So I don't know one way or the other, but it just seems it's been too long that so many people get rubbed the wrong way by her, and I don't know mm-hmm. why. And it can't be like her platform. So there must be something else behind the scenes that she might be doing that's just rubbing folks the wrong way, and I don't know one way or the other.
Yeah. Dewan, any thoughts on Amanda?
I kind of feel like Amanda is a person who understands who she is and stands in her own truth. Damn everybody else. And I feel like that kind of energy rubs a lot of people the wrong way. I'm not speaking on whether she's right or she's wrong, but from what I perceive of her, because, you know, I don't know her. But what I perceive of her, she just strikes me as a person who, for good, bad, or indifferent, she knows who she is. She knows what she believes in, and she stands firmly in that. Yeah. She's the one that says, I said what I said, and I'm not backing yeah. down from that. Yeah. And so, and I feel like a lot of people that just rubs them the wrong way, because a lot of people are concerned about their image. They're concerned about how they show up. They're concerned about their career. They're concerned about all these things that don't really have anything to do with the truth of who you are and what you believe yeah. and what you stand firm in. And so I give her credit for that. I also take issue with, I don't know, like, it's not like Amanda's going out on like a media tour and is just like blabbing her mouth about, you know, cutting this person down and that person. She's on her own social media platform speaking to her own people about mm-hmm. shit that she be feeling. Yep. And it kind of gives me like this might be a false equivalency, but like Lizzo, right? Although Lizzo uses every single platform to talk about like what she's feeling, how she's feeling, da 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 da. But she certainly most definitely uses her own platform and to talk about how she's feeling, what's going on, and all that stuff. So I don't know. Like, I don't know about the bad behavior part. I just feel like she's probably an individual. Do we know what her sign is? She just strikes me as a Scorpio mm-hmm. to me. I don't know.
I'll find out. Great question. I'll look right now.
Yeah, that's she just strikes me as a Scorpio. Because, you know, like, again, she just strikes me as a person that says, I said what I
cancer.
Said. I said what I said. And not,
she's
and
a not cancer. Saying
mm-hmm. cancer.
She's
a cancer.
She's ooh, cancer. So she's emotional. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so.
Yeah. Almost cancer.
Emotional crybabies. I do take a little bit of an issue. I don't know when media latches on to a particular kind of story, mm-hmm. I feel that it becomes more that's about the story than it is about who the person really is. Mm-hmm. And mm-hmm. we all know that media has a way of latching on to things and twisting things in a certain way that's not truly reality. So, you know, it's not surprising. I mean, we look at people like Monique as an example. We look at people like, what's old boy who paid the dudes, the Nigerian dudes to Justice Smollett. Like, there are so many different ways that the media tells a story about Black people,
yeah,
especially Black celebrities, and you know, you can't always take what the media runs with as gospel, because there's a whole other reality that may be happening. It may be true, and there may be a whole other reality that may be happening that we just aren't aware of. And I just agree with Jarrell a lot when we talk about like the stuff that she speaks on, like the hypocrisy, the way that she, you know, that she leverages her own educational background and more importantly, her political interests and social interests, you know, to advocate mm-hmm. for Blackness. Like, I can't fault that.
Yeah.
So, you know, what do I feel about like how the media is treating her? I don't think it's right. And I don't think she deserves to be dragged for like how she's feeling. If you're going to do it, you know, do it and move the fuck on. But this is getting tired. Like, I don't care about Amanda Seals. Yeah. Mm-hmm. You know, like, I don't care to the media about y'all going right. after her. You know, she over here minding her own goddamn business. Leave her the fuck alone. There's a whole bunch of other people that you should be digging your asses into mm-hmm. or into That's their asses. Mm-hmm. Like, mm-hmm. Amanda?
Yeah.
Right.
Amanda.
They yeah. And they took it off of what she said.
Insecure.
You know, like, she had a conversation on her platform about the fact that she's not invited to these events. And then everybody else said, let me take that little nugget, put it into mm-hmm. an article and build mm-hmm. it up in just the way that you said. So I feel like this is unwarranted. They're just trying to twist her words into saying she like she's just saying facts.
I think she said she wanted to go.
Yeah. I mean, she at least wants to be excited.
She mentioned how she was nominated
when she hosted the BET Awards during the pandemic. That was the best BET Awards
I've ever seen. And I love
Smart, Funny, and Black is great that she does. She's a great host.
She's a great host. Like, she deserves to be in those rooms. I think, to Carell's point about like maybe people, I think people like Amanda, being a Cancer, are very emotional and they're very outspoken about how they feel. And I think when you're in the entertainment industry, you have to play the good person. You have to, you know, fit the mold and you have to be a certain kind of way. And people who go against that are often painted as a person who is disruptive. They're unfriendly, difficult. They don't get along, they're difficult, right? Which is a very common thing that we just as Black people get, even just as regular ass people, mm-hmm. right? So like, I can just see just her being as who she is as a person is something that just rubs people who are playing the game, who are like, hey, I'm actually looking out for myself and what I gotta do, and what you bring is too much for me, so I have to disassociate myself because of what I'm trying to do. And at the end of the day, they ain't got shit to do with her. That really has to do with them and them trying to be in their bag. So I think part of it is people are disassociating because of the fact that she is in a spotlight that may go against what they have as far as their persona, as far as who they are in the public eye.
Yeah.
Amanda strikes me from her social media persona as a real ass chick. Mm-hmm. Somebody mm-hmm. that like literally lives right next door. Mm-hmm. The stuff that she talks about, the things that, you know, how she's leveraging her platform is like, we all got that person in their family, whether it's our mama, our cousin, or our sister, or ourselves, that mm-hmm. be saying the wrong shit. Mm-hmm. You know? The wrong shit.
Right. Or might be the right shit at the wrong time.
Right, that's like, well, wrong. Yeah.
What I said was true.
Here go Amanda again, kind of thing.
Right. Like, girl, I'm just trying to eat. Yeah, you over here talking about the black fight again. Oh, let me just eat today. Damn. That's what it is. It's like, damn, I know this shit sucks, but damn, let me eat my peanut butter and jelly sandwich right quick.
But yeah, it just makes me think about other people, other celebrities who have a platform that also speak up, and you hear very similar negative about them potentially being, you know, difficult and stuff like that. Like, I think of like Angelica Ross, for instance, mm-hmm. who came on the podcast mm-hmm. and talked about how, you know, speaking up, you know, about what happened on the scenes of American Horror Story, you know, and how she was let go because of that, because she simply spoke up and there were other people there who chose not to because of their spotlight, right? Like, we hear often about Black women when they do speak up and they fight for what they believe in, who they are, be painted instantly as being difficult and someone that you can't work with just simply for telling their truth. And I think that something that I really hate that those publications were doing to Black women from a Black standpoint. And it's just like, God damn, God damn it. Like, we really can't have shit. Like, no. You know, like, it really be your own people.
It really do.
That's the truest statement.
I think the interesting thing about it too is like, at worst, if she is an asshole, y'all tolerate assholes if y'all want to. Like, those publications,
you right on that.
Let people go and let them do their things. Like, side note, but kind of related, like, Diddy's rumors and things about him, we knew. All of this isn't really surprising. We knew he was, could be possibly violent or is. There was rumors about other things before. Definitely is an asshole. And he could do what he wants.
He made but them kids Amanda walk all Seals, the way to Brooklyn and go get cheesecake. We knew all the way down.
We knew it. All of the Bad Boy 20 artists. 20
years ago.
We knew.
When all Dylon of, man, and him.
Dylon. Like, all of the Bad Boy artists are either dead or don't have their masters or had to fight tooth and nail to get there. Wow. Like, bad business with them, but like, still has an icon award. Still, you know. So it's interesting to your point, Jarell, like the pro-Black people who are about all of us, for real, always are painted in a certain way. Like, it was crazy to see the pylon, because it's like, there was already that discussion on social, which is going to happen because she shared that on social to her followers. So I was okay with that. And there were some things where people were like, she had a bad exchange with Tamir Rice's mom. That, yeah, I was like, okay, yeah, that wasn't right. And then the whole Insecure thing always comes up because it's like, people are like, damn, if you can't get along with Issa, then, But I'm like, it ain't nothing crazy that she's done to, you know, receive this kind of hate and, you know, vitriol at times. So I just think it's very interesting, the truly all-inclusive pro-Black people who advocate for us get this kind of treatment. It's crazy. So.
Yeah, who's she pissed? Because you know in the background there's Guardians. So what Guardian of the Galaxy did she piss off?
Somebody.
Who did she smudge somebody. That done?
Yeah. Gotta be somebody.
Somebody in the background off.
I find it interesting that I was just trying to think through kind of like this scenario from a colorism lens, because oftentimes when we see this happening, it's not for someone that is lighter than a paper bag. It's not. This whole situation is kind of like breaking the mold of what we are used to seeing in terms of, you know, darker skin, more Afrocentric featured women who are standing up for themselves, getting this kind of treatment, right? You look at Oprah, you look at like any of, you know, our dark melanated, you know, beautiful sisters. It's interesting that, you know, she is, as a lighter skinned individual, is getting this kind of treatment. But again, it goes to show this is less about what she's saying and what, to me, it's more about what she's standing in.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. 100%. Well, listen, I'm glad that there was an outpouring, even with those articles and those hit pieces, really. That there was an outpouring of like, we appreciate you, Amanda. Like, she's not perfect. We don't know her. So we don't know all the stories. Who knows? But I think from outside in, all of the good that she does outweighs the bad from what we've heard. So very interesting.
Gail King, go ahead and do an interview with her. With the Seals. I would like to see that, to be honest with you.
Yeah, I have a growing crush on Gail. Side note, it's growing.
Gail's coming to her season.
She was like on the Pivot podcast. It's fine, but I just want to let y'all know.
That was a good episode.
You saw it? It was a really good episode. I was like, am I crushing on Gail? I have a crush on Gail after the Pivot podcast. I was like, oh my God.
Gail's dope. I want to talk to Gail.
I want to talk to Gail.
Come on, Gail. Come on back. Where's the Minority Report?
Okay. We'll just have a little crossover.
Just one time.
Dewan.
You'd be like, Dewan. Thank you so much. Dewan. Thank you so much. Be like, say my name as if I said something crazy. And say something. Say my name as if I said something. Change life. I want to pause thank you so before much. That shit. Okay.
Right.
Chris. Chris.
You killed me, man.
That's a professional.
Okay. Professional. Right there. Mm-hmm. All right. Well, let's go ahead off to our backward opinions, because what type of backwards would we be if we didn't have unpopular queer opinions? As y'all know, we'll go first. Feel free to judge, comment, question. Y'all know it's safe until it's not. So let's go ahead. Let's go ahead and discuss. So I know Chris is very excited about mine. And Chris, I need you to relax, because this is on like,
I love it.
Like a half a step. Okay. It's just a half a step.
It's forward progress. So
have a step.
I'll take it.
That's all. That's all it really
but
is.
But a step think forward, though.
So. A toddler's
go ahead.
Step.
No, that's, you go ahead. You just go ahead.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much.
Speak up.
Speak up. Y'all, as you all probably know, I am not big on astrology. I'm not big on the planets and the vibes and the energies and having like things happen as a result of planets doing their planetary things. But this month may have proved me wrong. Between Mercury being in retrograde, between the eclipse, between apparently Venus was moving, apparently some other planet was moving, and the amount of things that have happened, they're just doing whatever they want to do. I hate you. I hate you so much. I hate you so much.
The show was with this damn earthquake we had too. Okay. Damn.
Also, that y'all had an earthquake. The East Coast had an earthquake. I was over here laughing at my friends because I was just like, did you feel it or did you just sleep through it? And they were just like, we didn't sleep through it. And I'm like, that's what happens on the West Coast. We just sleep through it. And we're like, okay, if my house isn't falling, I'm going back to bed. Like, that's how we treat the earthquakes. And so being able to see all of these things happen, like I had so many friends break up. I had a lot of people who were just like in and out of life things. A lot of folks who are acting on extreme levels that I've never seen them act on before. And other folks who were just like disappearing. I said, what is happening with the moon and the stars and the sun setting and the moon rising and whatever else happening? And I was like, maybe y'all are onto something. And so I'm going to admit in that moment that maybe y'all are onto something. And yes, I know what that is. That's growth. Okay. Mm-hmm. Thank you so
Come
much.
Come on now.
Thank
Come
you
on
so now. Much.
I'm so proud of you.
I wanted to be sure that there was a crowd. I couldn't leave Chris to just Thank enjoy you. This Thank by herself so because the follow-up questions would have been out of control. So I needed other witnesses to hear this.
I'm full again. A half step is a step in the right direction. Love. I'm very proud of you.
Thank
very
you. Proud of you. Thank you all for your support. Thank you for coming to my TED Talk. I will be taking no more questions. Chris, go ahead.
I just want to say welcome, you know. I just, you know, we're going to welcome you in. I'm not going to say I told you so.
Look, I'm
just
glad I'm still you came in the parking
home.
Lot.
Come on home.
I'm still
Come
in the parking home. Lot. Still sitting and deciding if I'm coming in or not. That's all.
No, we have a place for you. It's all right. Come on.
Fine.
Come on. Come
they
on
got home. Your name at the door. Don't worry.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Well, look at y'all. Prepared is what that is.
I love it. I love it. That is great. Well, my bad queer opinion to the Gerard Carmichael show. I finally found a yum I will yuck. The kink I will absolutely shame. Race play is gross, especially if you're a Black or a POC person that plays a submissive role. Like, you're going to be a slave? Like, why would you choose? It's, I, nah, no, no, nah.
No. That was the favorite gift that I saw on the internet was if you are going to be a Black person or a POC person that engages in race play, why are you not the owner? Why have you not switched the roles?
Right.
Somebody Come was like, now. I would like, be what? The one with the switch and the whip all over
this
everybody.
This is my master said, bedroom.
Okay. Like, if you're going to do it, own it.
Own it. Be But there's also other dom sub like scenarios and things that you could play out that's not that. So, or just like, you know what I mean? Like, there's other. So,
the range
is there. That is the one, the kink that I will shame. Everything else, that's your thing. And I know this is two consenting adults and people are going to do it. I'm not, you know, people aren't going to change their minds if they're already doing it. But that is the yum I'll yuck. That is not with it. So,
I agree with you on that one.
Well, I mean, I can go next because mine's is kind of in the same vein. I'm just, I'm not a Gerard Carmichael fan to begin with. I just don't get it. Like,
no.
Now's your time to speak up.
Is this nigga? Who gave him a microphone? I just don't get it. I got like 15 cousins that look just like him, go through the same shit. I'm trying to get the uniqueness. I don't see the nerve. I don't see the talent. I'm just trying to understand. And I'm also not a big fan of his comedy style either. Like, it's
next. I feel like that's how you turned off Rothaniel if you watched it, the comedy special. You're like, just turn it off, honestly, went to sleep.
I honestly said it and I'm okay.
Like, just wasted that time.
Yeah, this is y'all's representation right now, so it's okay to be disappointed.
I said, not my representative.
I vote for this nigga. I vote. Oh Lord,
I love it.
I can go next. I know this is a political season. And we need all the allies we could get. Gay men, keep your straight female straight friend at home. We don't need them in our spaces no more. Go to their club. Go to their restaurants. Go over there. I know you want to go kiki and bring your best Judy out there. A, we need to see their voting record before you bring them into these spaces. Mm-hmm. B, we need to read them the Miranda rights before they come into these spaces, because this is not theirs. And if you cannot do that, do not come with them. I'm sorry that you want to go out tonight. Go to their straight spaces then and kick it with your Judy. Because if I have one more straight girl push me out the way to get a drink, if I hear one more straight girl in the club screaming, saying this day song, if I get one more like grope on my butt, if I get, if I hear that tone in that register one more time, I'm going to lose my shit. And I'm not blaming them anymore. I'm blaming you, gay men. So please go to their spaces, because I'm tired of losing my space. I'm tired when I had a long ass work week and want to go have a drink with my friends, have the bar straight women. Sorry, can't do it no more.
So, I like that.
I know we need allies, but we don't need them in all our spaces.
Come on now.
Agreed. Yeah. Gonna have to start clearing it out. I love the voting record.
The Miranda rights. Yes.
Yes. Let me see that vote in history. When you come up in here.
But you know, the people that be bringing them oftentimes have the similar, similar voting records as well.
Awesome. Right? True. And then in that case, they'd be like, can I see yours as well?
Period.
Card them both.
One A and one B.
Facts. Card them both.
Facts.
Yeah, mine is very similar, and so I can go next or last. Black queer conservatives, y'all gotta go. I don't. Y'all gotta go. That's it. Like I don't understand how in a world where you see Let me take one step back and say, I understand that there might be different philosophies around how, quote unquote, a government should be run. I don't give a damn how the government runs. As long as I can do what I need to do, I pay my taxes, I go to work, I get a paycheck, like not in that order. But at the end of the day, I and many others should not have to worry about our rights being stripped away because y'all want to be straight white people, because that's what it boils down to. Yeah. Like this whole, you know, the Candace Owens of the world and the, I don't want to jigaboo these names into my existence. So, but they occupy a space that erodes who we are and what's important to us. And fuel the fire of the white masses that are trying to say, yeah, I got this. I got, you know, my one black friend that says what I think is right. No, you got that white wannabe that says he want to be white just like you. So he going to say whatever. Stop. Y'all got to go.
Gotta go.
Yeah, I'm with you.
Gotta go. Look, they always try and go with the fiscally and shut the hell up.
No. Like, shut the hell up, man. Yeah. Fiscally, bitch. Yeah. No. Sit your ass down.
Bitch.
you show me one Republican ran administration that did not put us in goddamn debt in the last 60 years.
Name one.
Do that. Quickly. Then we can have a conversation about fiscal responsibility.
That part. Right.
But yeah. Until then, we talking about voting rights. We're talking about gerrymandering. We're talking about reproductive rights. We're talking about healthcare for all. We're talking about the cost of certain medications and certain procedures, access to medical procedures. Like, these are the things that we're talking about. And so when we have people that are fighting against that under the cover of this, that, and the other, we all know what we're seeing. We're seeing the jigaboo that's basically
fighting for that privilege, wanting that privilege, or thinking they have it now because they reach a certain quote unquote status in life. Yeah. Oh, they gonna take your LGBTQIA+ ass and throw you in the streets too. Oh, watch.
They'll never love you. They'll never accept you. It doesn't matter.
Because once they try to get rid of the rest of us, bitch, who next?
Right.
Yeah. They're not going to skip over you.
No.
Bob. No.
No.
Robert.
Hey, Jared. Hey, Gerard. No.
Ooh, they, I mean, any black conservative, especially the gay ones, but any of them, they boil my blood. Like, I just. Oh,
1,000%.
My God. They just,
And it's like, and I get that the government's not doing, like, even democratically, we got some issues to work through.
Yeah.
But the reason why you're voting Republican is so fucked up and not reality at all.
Yeah.
And it is wild to see.
There's a privilege driven aspiration that is the undertone for that kind of alignment. It really, really is. And that's what bothers me. It would be a different story if there was a community of purely black queer conservatives that were truly focused on what the ideals of the Republican Party are supposed to be, which is smaller big government and bigger local government and fiscal responsibility. But y'all don't act that way. So that tells me that you're telling this whole, trying to weave this whole story just to mask the fact that you're trying to be like Massa.
Yeah.
So,
and I don't trust. I ain't gonna trust nothing they marketing because they marketing is built to trick us.
And they always be the ugliest people too.
Unseasoned.
You just know it.
It just oozes. The ugliness just oozes out. Like
absolutely.
It just be all looking up and looking like sandpaper. You know, like.
It's always the same people. They shop at the same place. They shop at Kohl's. It's just
Dark hair to make it look straight and then comb to the side because they want a little side part. Like,
It'd be the sport coat for me. That's what it'd be. It'd be the sport coat.
Oh, dude, it's the color contacts for me.
It always takes me back to that one little like meme of when it's the news pundits and you know I can't remember the names off the top of my head, but he's like, I'm trying to figure out why Odu was going to the Cheesecake Factory. And if that is not real, if that is not black culture right there in that particular moment, you got this old conservative dude trying to like make what in his opinion some kind of relatable correlation between his ideology and the black culture. And
it's like missed it. Damn, this bad queer is they struck a chord with us.
It did. It's on our hearts.
Damn,
clearly spirit was ready to move.
So we had to get that off our chest. Shit.
Yeah, we're gonna have to pray these demons away tonight.
We gotta do something. These earthquakes, you know, this astrology, something. We gotta do something.
Look, y'all better have that fixed by the time I come out there. So call whoever you need to, but
it's fine. It just gives a little shake for a second. It's okay.
Yeah,
I will say, satisfying as a Californian to text my family, like, what's up? What's up? Anything that moves in California, it don't matter how big our state is. They're just like, you good? I was like, it's in San Diego. I'm in the Bay. And they're like, okay. Still means nothing to them. I've been in California for 10 years. They don't care about time zones still. They don't know where it is. It doesn't matter. Like, if something happens in California, and to be fair, when I leave California, the news be making California look crazy.
Yes. Yes.
It sounds nuts out here. Yes. It does.
I would go home and listen, and my parents are just like, are you even surviving? I'm like, okay? Nothing is happening. It's nothing is happening.
Yeah.
They really, if the fire is coming, I'm like, it has to cross a body of water. Like, it's I'm good.
Yeah.
Like,
I'm Gucci. I get a lot of that in New York too, because like, I remember there was a time where, so I live in Harlem, and Harlem, just topography wise, is higher than lower Manhattan. Oh, and okay. There was a time when there was like a whole flood that happened down, and I had so many people like texting and writing and calling and like, hey, are you okay? I'm like, what's going on? I don't even know what's going on. And I'm looking out the window and it's cute. It's beautiful.
Like, it's sunny out. What are you talking about?
Underwater.
Right. I'm at Trader Joe's. Can I call you back? Run errands. You talking about a flood.
I know that's right. Right.
Oh, this has been so fun, y'all.
This has been. I can't believe we're at the end of the show, but we would never leave you without giving shout outs to our faves. My shout out this week goes to Hot Flash. It is a monthly party for our 30 plus lesbian and queer community. It's hosted by Damn Good Dyke Nights in Los Angeles. So you can follow them at damn.good.dyke.nights on IG.
Oh, Hot Flash is the name.
Okay, that's an
account. Right.
Honestly, I came across that and I said, peak, and I love it.
Well done, Carell. Well done. All right, my shout out is to the Black Music Archive, which was founded by the talented multidisciplinary artist Malik Khashid. Through unique documentary style features, he explores and shares the rich history and influence of Black experiences through the lens of music. You could follow on IG and YouTube at Black Music Archive. You'll love seeing their videos, you know, on your timeline. It's great, especially if you love oldies and just good Black music.
Hey, that's right.
Okay, now
I need to figure out who I need to shout out. Who y'all got?
Look, I don't know. I was trying to say who I need to shout out right now.
Yeah, you
know
what? Hold on.
I don't necessarily have like a group or a club, but there's an artist that I really want to shout out, and this artist is one of my good friends, Brandon Jackson, who is an up-and-coming artist in Nashville, Tennessee, who is working out in the straight bars, these country bars, as a plus-size, queer, Black man, non-binary out here too, and letting the girls have it, taking his face off. He got an album that he's going to be releasing at some point this year as well too. And so y'all support Black queer artists. Mm-hmm. And his Instagram handle is BJax, as BEJAXX on Instagram.
Love that.
So that's my shout out.
Jarrell, do you have a favorite song that you would recommend?
I don't, because this would be his first album that he will be releasing.
Okay.
But he does a cover of Whitney Houston, I Will Always Love You. That is really good.
All right.
And he'd be singing his face off. And he also sings some. He sings, what Tina song does he sing? River Deep? Is it River Deep?
Oh, wow. Big songs.
Yes.
Oh, boy, I did not expect those to be the ones that you said based on what you described. And now I'm like, oh, so we're belting. Yeah. Thank you so much.
That part. Mm-hmm.
Absolutely.
You could have been like, he's doing our back a cover into it. Pieces of Me. It's like, no, it's Whitney and Tina. Got it. Aww. A voice.
Mm-hmm. That boy. I know who I want to shout out. I want to shout out Bad Queers, honestly. Quite frankly, because I just know, and we all know just how hard it is to maintain a podcast, to keep doing a podcast. This shit, like, especially the days where you just don't feel like doing it, but you still do it anyway, and you still gain something, and you still put something positive into the world. So I'm rooting for y'all all the damn time. So I'm showing y'all out. That's who I'm shouting out. Because keep that shit going, because we need you both to continue to do this. So
yeah.
Aww, thank you.
You're welcome. That's real.
Family.
Little letdown. I can follow that with my little letdown. Shout out. Because my shout out is for Black Dolls Matter. So I've recently launched a designing, clothing designing company for dolls. And
what's it called?
You're right. You better shout the name.
What is it called?
I know.
Well, right.
What is it called?
Somebody. Mine. Okay.
No, say yours too.
It's called Doll Lovable.
There we go.
Lovable. Doll Lovable. But I'm shouting out Black Dolls Matter because as a kid, as a black gay boy that played with dolls growing up, oftentimes in secret, not having a range of melanation in our dolls and only having one or two options just didn't feel like representation. And I love the fact that Black Dolls Matter is, so you can find them on social, TikTok and all that kind of fun stuff, but they just promote melanated representation within dolls so that people can see themselves, whether they, people that are dark skin or light skin, have vitiligo, whatever, have kinky hair, straight hair, curly hair, anything in between, different colored eyes, whatever. And that representation is so important. And to see yourself as something of a thing of beauty and something to be cherished and something to be embraced as a young kid or as an adult collector, that representation is really important. So shout out to y'all for doing that great work.
Love that. That's awesome. That's awesome. And one more time, Dewan, awesome. What's the doll company that you have?
See, they put me on the spot. Mm-hmm. So, yeah. Not trying to like promote anything away from Minority Report, but
it's all entangled. We got leftovers. There's plenty to eat, bitch. Okay. So, come on.
Thank you. See, this is the kind of support you get from your melanated, family. So, I recently launched a design company that designs clothing for fashion dolls. So these are kind of like Barbie, but a little bit elevated. And I have a fashion design background and I'm putting it to work and I love dolls. And, I launched it about 4 weeks ago and it's been doing really, really well. I've got a really nice following.
That's
and
so awesome.
I'm telling you, the clothes that I'm putting out there are chef's kiss. Yes. They are hot, 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 very, very cool. And I'm really excited about it. So if you feel so inclined, feel free to check me out. It's Doll Lovable, Dollovable.
Your dog clothes makes me want a remake of Life Size. Like, real time. Because the way that Amara, right?
Amara.
Mm-hmm. Amara, that's her doll's name. Okay. Mm-hmm. The way she be stunned in these clothes, baby.
Okay.
Like, expensive. Money. Okay. And I'm
money.
Like, would love to have a big life size. Look at her.
Yes.
Oh my goodness.
Ooh, it's giving fashion. Oh. Wow.
Okay.
It's giving elegance.
Yes, look. See?
It's giving Barbie who?
Elevated.
The moment that you said, think of Barbie, but like elevated, I said, all I heard was Barbie's wardrobe ain't shit. That's all I heard.
And what kind of shirt does she have on?
Oh, just a little bum on.
Okay.
Elevated.
Better than me. Go ahead.
No. But seriously, that's really cool. Like my mom and my older sister are still so much into Barbies and black Barbies, especially, and still have collectors. And like, so that is, I know that culture is like huge and they have a couple of friends.
It's massive.
Aunties
yeah.
like that.
It's
that's like massive. Big.
Massive.
Yeah, so.
Yeah. These are not like, the dolls that are like, creepy, ugly dolls that are, like in your grandma's mm-hmm. house. These dolls are serving.
Yeah.
They're serving you face, body, hair.
Yeah. Okay.
Like looks. Everything.
The way she had to go across seas to get that face, though, she better be serving.
Okay.
She better know all the behind the scenes. Honey, like, something like that.
Way got, done better. Got her new body and face overseas.
She
did.
She looked good without, but yeah, Amara, she's a beauty. Like, everything in my house can burn down. I just want her.
Wait. Here's the real talk. So when they had the earthquake, Dewan sent a text message between him and his partner, Adam. And literally is Dewan being like, are you okay? How's Amara?
It's literally the very next literally.
And the funny thing is, like, Adam like texted me too because he was just like, "Oh, did you guys feel Philly?" I was like, "Yeah." I'm like, "I know Dewan ain't checked up on you though." I'm like, "Cause I already got the picture that you sent."
Dewan's gonna have a Mara cam at work. They have like the pet cubes, you know, for dogs. He's gonna have a Mara cam, just making sure she's all right.
Yeah, I don't. To be clear, we don't travel together. We're not having like, you know, luncheons or anything like that. We don't do tea parties. You know, she is the fashion model, the face of Doll Lovable, but you know,
she's just a talent. That's it.
Just exactly. Just the talent.
That's fair. It's hard out here in this economy today, so it's, you know, understandable. Understandable.
Oh, that is amazing. That is awesome.
I love this. Congratulations. That's amazing. So y'all follow that too and do the things. And then can you all share where people should follow and support you as well so that we keep this going?
Yeah. Follow us on the socials. IG is Minority, like you're sipping and spilling and slurping tea. TEA report. TikTok is Minority Report. We don't really be on Twitter that heavy anymore because Elon must be doing some foul ass shit.
Really?
So usually those are the kind of the two main ones. Facebook as well. You know, join the community over there. And then new episodes every single Monday. So come and check us out. Same day that Bad Queers drops. And yes,
YouTube.
Absolutely. Every episode is out there on YouTube, and a lot of times folks be like, "Oh, okay, we like to see the animation that we're hearing your voices." So definitely, you know, we be rocking the wigs, we be doing wig parties every so often. We just celebrate our 5th anniversary, so come and rock with us, and cheers to 5 more at least, hopefully. And we got some other stuff percolating, and you know, you'll see soon.
We're gonna see some things that are coming, but you know, just continuing to tease it. But again, thank you all for coming and spending time with us. This is so fun. It's always great having you. We'll keep this going. Have the fun, everybody. Check out Minority. And for everybody who tunes in to us regularly, thank you. And we'll see you next week.
Take care.
Shout out to Sienna Liggins for our Bad Queer soundtrack titled Me Again, and our sound engineer Cesar for making us sound like we know what we're doing. If you enjoyed the episode, please take the time to leave us a review wherever you listen to podcasts. Until next time. It's me again. Can we talk about things? I'm so sorry that I'm coming.